Hi, everybody. Welcome to Power Up. We are so very excited to have you here today. The PWR Empower stands for
playing, watching, and reading. And this is our off week from having a guest. So it's just Trisha and I kicking back, talking about all the things that we have been playing, watching, reading the last 2 weeks, which is going to be super exciting. I know I've been super busy and you've been super busy, but we've managed to get some things in and we will talk about it and break it down. We're going to do it all with the help of Amy Cassandra Martinez, who actually comes in to deliver the news.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Hi. What's going on in the world of playing? What do we got? What's the news?
Well, so this one kind of meshes P and W a little bit, but I put it in power and in power and P and play.
It sounds so funny when you say I put it in P. I'm sorry. I have a 3-year-old. It's very funny to me.
I'm surprised I didn't catch it. I'm disappointed in myself.
So Amazon Studios announced that they're making a Fallout TV series. The Westworld creators, Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, are serving as producers. There are no plot details yet or casting information. So it's kind of unclear like how they're going to be adapting that. But that's pretty much it. I mean, it's interesting because Fallout is obviously like post-apocalyptic. So. Yeah. We're still staying with that. Don't know when it'll be released, but it's happening.
All right, Trisha, question. Now that Bethesda has sold the rights to Fallout to TV and are probably sitting on a massive McScrooge duck pile of gold coins, do you think that they should continue their bullshit of doing monthly, subscriptions and things like that to continue playing Fallout games?
I mean, I am never a fan of recurring purchases or after you initially purchase the game, having any kind of in-app purchases or anything like that after the fact. Mm-hmm. I would rather pay $60 for a AAA title and then be done paying for it. But that's just me. I know it's a lot more lucrative for games devs and publishers to monetize on a recurring basis. So whatever. I don't know that it will stop that process for them, to answer your question. I'm just excited that we're getting a TV series based in the Fallout universe from the creators of Westworld. I know, Maude, you've had like mixed reactions to Westworld over the seasons.
Season 1 was great. Season 2, they tried something new and it just fell apart. Season 3, they completely pivoted again and made it character-based instead of world-building, even though I felt their world-building was stronger. Then 2nd went into more character, and then 3rd was character but done better.
I liked it. I'm on board for the ride. If they're going to make a Fallout series, I am down for it. There's been a lot of jokes online about like, yeah, but will the TV series involve a bunch of glitches to make it more authentic? I honestly, one of the things I like so much about the Fallout series is the lore. So if you're going to give me a TV series based on the lore, I'm down for that. And again, I mean, Westworld is post-apocalyptic, so they're kind of in their genre. What do you think, Amy?
Well, I made it through 1 episode of Westworld, but it was pretty much just because I was like, okay, I'm going to try something else right now. I do like post-apocalyptic things, but you have to be in the mood for it. But regardless, I mean, it's going to take a little while, so who knows what our life will be like when it comes out. So
war.
Curious.
War never changes.
There you go. Stoked for this mod? Are you into it, or are you a little nervous because of the team working on it?
I have no problem with the team working on it. I think Westworld looks amazing, and it had a lot of potential. I think Westworld was kind of written as brand new IP. I don't think it was based on a book, was it?
I thought it was.
We're going to get some fact-checking up in this biz.
Doing it right now.
Because Fallout does have an extensive lore, it has been going on for, you know, a little bit longer, decades.
So it began in 1973 with the release of the film Westworld. So there was a 1973... Whoa. Westworld, apparently.
I just became the Fallout thumb responding to that.
Hilarious. and then it was followed by a sequel film in 76 called Future World. In 1980, what? There was a short-lived television series Beyond Westworld.
Westworld.
This was all before HBO's Westworld.
Gotcha. Well, today I learned.
And yeah, Gecko8553 in chat says, I remember that movie. STS says Anthony Hopkins was in the film. Okay.
Anthony Hopkins is in the show. That's why, I'm guessing. Oh, full circle. That was lost on me.
Ollie Morrison says, yep, the original Westworld is a stone cold classic. Huzzah!
There has been a lot of times when video games haven't translated into a different genre yet, movies especially. I feel like something recently has worked quite well. I'll be interested to see it. But I mean, is it going to be from first person? Probably not. I don't know. The concept of having a shelter and like vaults to override the nuclear destruction that happens in the kind of ish near future. That's a great premise, you know, because we are hurtling towards that future.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. STS2884 in chat says, is this the first video game TV show? I would argue that Witcher could be considered a video game TV show, even though Witcher was based on the books. They said, you know, this is based specifically on the books, not necessarily the video game. But what people's preconceived notions are from Witcher, I would say, are heavily impacted by the video game series.
It has the same sort of look and tone of the video game, yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Amy, thank you so much for the news. Appreciate you.
Our little news lady from coming in. From Geek Bomb News, Channel 4 News.
Thanks, Amy. We'll see you in a bit.
Playing. What you playing? Really? What's it like?
I'm playing The Last of Us 2. Yeah. I have been streaming it on this very Twitch channel, and I went into it very hesitant. I was like, you know, I might not have the mental and emotional strength, given everything else going on in the world right now, to play this game. I know the Last of Us series can be incredibly daunting and incredibly heavy. And I mean, the story that they're setting out to tell is not a happy one. So if you're looking for video games as an escape to a happier place, this is not it, I would argue.
I was talking about this a lot because the book that I'm doing for book club, which I'm going to chat about in the R segment, a lot of things coming up now, and this is a big portion of art, where it's not enjoyable, but it's really good. Mm-hmm. And those are not obviously mutually exclusive, where it's like you can, you know, survive it, last through it, but realize like the scope of it and how well it was made and the impacts that it's had, but obviously not be there for a real good time.
Right. And I mean, I have not even gotten into the real meat and potatoes of this game yet. The story that Naughty Dog tells, and I see some people in chat saying they finished it and kind of the roller coaster of emotions that they went on with it. I have a feeling it's going to get a lot darker before it gets better, if it gets better at all. But I love emotionally impactful stories that make you think later. I mean, there's a lot of films I've watched, games I've played, books I've read where it's a slog. It's a real slug to get through. But when you're done, you're like, I'm glad I experienced that. And I'm glad I went through that. And I feel like a stronger, better person because I went through it. And so I have to say, I thought I was going into The Last of Us 2, like, ooh, we'll see if we can even finish this stream. I might have to take a break and play Magic the Gathering, to being addicted to the story and not wanting to put it down. So it's been hard for me to take breaks in between streams because I want to stream the whole thing, because I just want to know what happens next. Even though I know it's going to be something awful, I need to know how the story ends. So that's how I've been playing. Of course, Naughty Dog, and a lot of people have been saying this in their reviews, the voice acting's amazing. Graphically, the game is amazing. The sound design's amazing. Like, technically, the game is a masterpiece. It's very hard to argue with that. The people who have problems with it, a lot of them have problems with the story and the way that the story is told. I am not having a problem with that at the point in the game that I'm at right now.
Okay. What about some of this backlash that's happening from The Last of Us? Like some, some men not liking a particular body type, saying it's not feminine enough for what they're used to. Yeah, she had guns. I don't know if you kind of caught it before, but I've been lifting.
Get it. I have actually been too. I don't feel like mine are super great, but I have also been trying to work out a bit and get a little bit stronger. What?
Do you have a license to carry that gun?
I know, right? I wish that's what people said when they saw this, but I'm getting there. I'm working on it. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people have issues with the depiction of Abby, and you know how buff she is and that she's not more traditionally feminine forward. I think if you were living in the apocalypse and you were fighting off hordes of infected all of the time, you would probably be pretty buff. Like, let's be for real. You would probably be pretty buff. And I have friends in real life that have a similar body type to Abby, so it's not weird to me. But, you know, some people are finding it very strange. And I think it's the same people who are finding it very strange that there is a same-sex female relationship in the game. That people are very upset that it's virtue signaling, that is the main relationship as you go through. But to me, again, I have a lot of friends that are in same-sex relationships. The fact that same-sex relationships exist is not weird or off-putting to me. It doesn't feel out of the ordinary.
Like, that term is, you're doing something about it. Screw you. It's like, what? Just like social justice warrior. It's like, that's not even an insult.
Man. I know. When, like, I explained to Nate what SJW meant, he was like, social justice warrior? That sounds awesome. We should all want to be warriors for social justice. Like, what a cool title. People are using that as an insult, and it just made me laugh because I'm so ingrained in internet culture. But just as someone who's not in that culture at all, they were like, that's a badass name.
Speaking of names, I was going to be Abby.
Your name was going to be Abby, like Abigail, or just Abby?
Abby.
Cute. Well, that's like, I'm Trisha, not Patricia.
Yeah. I was going to be Abby Garrett. Abby Garrett.
I like that.
And, like, my radio career would have been so much better than, hi, Maud Garrett. Hi, but I'm Maud Garrett.
Then you would have never been able to be the moderator.
That's a good point, but I would have been able to be so... I don't know. Chat's going to do it. Do the work for me. What kind of puns could I have used with Abby? This is my what if. Alternate reality. Maud doesn't exist. Abby's in town now. If I was a guy, I was going to be called Clancy.
Oh.
Amy is wincing.
Clancy Garrett? Well, let's just all be happy that that's not the name. That's not the name they went with. All right, Abby, what you playing?
Oh, so I actually haven't really been playing video games. I'm done with Animal Crossing, as I have explored in the last couple of episodes, that I'm just, you know, well, even though there's that new DLC, will I? Probably not. I went back into Final Fantasy last night. I am not focusing. It's a little bit grindy for me. It's a little bit repetitive. And Aerith is just like, are you sure you want to go into my house yet? And I'm like, yeah. Actually, Cloud's, like, so dismissive. It's kind of wonderful. But at one stage, like, the kids were trying to chat to him, and he was awful. And she's like, you could at least pretend that you care, like, when you're chatting with a kid. And I was like, Cloud, that was a dick
move. Did you go straight into the orphanage and steal the loot in there yet?
No. That's what I'll be doing after this. But something that was really, really cool that I did do, and I want to shout out Satine Phoenix. She is in the Dungeons & Dragons community. She is a legendary DM in her own right. These are the images that I'm using to kind of talk about the fact that her and I played a one-shot last Friday, a week ago. She has a Patreon where she will do group games and one-on-ones. And I had to ask, I was like, how do you do a one-on-one Dungeons & Dragons game?
Oh, that's how I grew up playing.
Really? Just one-on-ones? Yep. I just thought it was so fun because I've only ever played in group scenarios. And because, like, we were supposed to be playing with a new group, which I was super, super excited about. But then a couple of them got busy and she's like, we'll still just do it. And it's just going to be you, me, and my boyfriend, Heath. And I was just like, babe, have the night off. Like, you don't have to entertain me. And then I am so glad she went through with it. She's like, no, I want to practice this because of what I'm doing with Patreon. I had the best night. This one shot lasted about not even 3 hours, 8:30 to 11, 2.5 hours. The scenario she put us in, she's like focusing on role playing more. And I created a reignited, pun, a fire Genasi character that I had from about a year and a half ago that only ever got one session in, so it was great to be able to do that. And just the mesh of combat and problem solving, the whole thing together, she did such an amazing job, and I really wanted to take this time to sing her praises. And I'm not sure if anyone's into D&D, but want to have like a one-on-one experience. Just my love to Satine Phoenix, because she's DM'd me during Sirens 2 or 3 years ago, but to see her in this capacity, like no cameras on, it was all about the gameplay. Like, she's a machine. It was wonderful. So
that's awesome.
That's what I was playing.
Yeah, that's awesome. One-on-ones, I always felt like I was so spoiled growing up playing one-on-ones because you move through everything so much faster, combat so much faster. Like, you can get through an adventure that in a group would take 5 to 6 hours in, like you said, like between 2 to 4. And you're never having those moments where you're just like waiting because someone else is having a moment or going through something big. Like,
oh, wait,
you're
is
really
it my
spoiled.
Turn? What's happening?
Yeah, you're really spoiled. It's all about you, and you can do whatever you want the entire time. I, all through high school and the first part of college, the person I was dating in my long-term high school relationship was the DM for our group. So anytime he and I would get together, because we were super nerd kids, you know, normally when you're like, when me and my boyfriend get together, something sexy follows. We were like, when me and my boyfriend get together, we play Dungeons and Dragons.
And they're like, oh, yeah, that's a no-no.
Yeah, no. We play Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah, he would run one-off campaigns for me all the time because we would invite our other players. And if they couldn't make it, it was just me and him. We still did it. We still had a great time.
Oh, I love hearing that. That's great. Yeah. I'm gonna play more D&D. I'm actually going to be playing some more D&D. Sunday, guys, not this Sunday, whenever it is. When is Virtual Comic-Con? I'm going to be playing a game on Virtual Comic-Con. It's only just been confirmed, and I'm playing with the likes of B. Dave Walters and Kate Welsh from Wizards of the Coast.
Awesome.
Joe Manganiello is going to be on that as well.
Awesome.
Xanderific. Yeah, it'll be really, really cool.
That's really fun. I'm so happy for you. That sounds so awesome. So, yeah, make sure that you...
We need to play, Trish.
What?
We need to play D&D. My group that I was DMing, they've kind of, like, asked for a little bit of time out during lockdown because it's a, you know, it's a weird time.
Let me know. I'm down. I'm about to do a new D&D series with Newegg, which is so funny. Because they never do tabletop RPGs. Can you hear my son roaring in the background? I have, yeah, there's a monster roaring in the background. Newegg, where I host a lot of like tech reviews and interviews, and we talk about PC building and computer parts. Obviously the people who are into that are also into video games, but there are also a lot of people in that company that want to play tabletop RPGs. And they were like, while we're all in lockdown, let's run a game. And why the heck not? We'll put it up on the channels. That sounds great. So we're going to do that. So who knows if there will even be an audience, because I think they're going to put it on Newegg's channels. And everyone that tunes into Newegg wants to know about the latest GPU. They're not necessarily interested in a D&D campaign. But
they
we'll see.
Now.
I'm just excited because, well, A, we roped Nate into playing. So Nate's going to play on the series, which is fun. And I'm just excited because Nate and I are going to be able to play together for the first time in ages. So it should be really good. It should be really, really good. So yes, if you guys want more D&D, check it out soon because there will be lots of it around. And Maude, make sure to let us know when your virtual Comic-Con D&D sesh is.
I will. I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be good. Good lot of people in that one. Well, there it is. P playing for power for the week. Thank you, Trisha, for letting us know. Thank you, Amy, for delivering the news.
And let's
that
bring
is
in
one
Amy.
Out of three.
That brings in, let's bring in Amy for Bombs Away Q&A.
I do that every time. You're like, let me ask you a question. And I'm like, all right, we'll wrap the show. Okay.
Yes.
Bombs Away Q&A.
I will be getting one from Twitch live, so make sure you get those in. This one is from Patreon, patreon.com/geekbomb. This one's from Robert. May I please ask for an update on the return of Dungeons and Flagging?
Timing! Couldn't be better. Well, because I do have no weekly game, I have been thinking a lot the last week about Dungeons and Flagons because it's been 18 months. Since the last season.
Wow.
Where did that time go? So yes, I'm thinking that if I, it's the tech side that's probably going to bog me down the most. But I would love to do a weekly Funions and Flagons streamed. And I've got a couple of peeps in mind that I think would be really cool to game with. I might be working with like a creative person since I'm like rinsed the sponge of all of my brilliant ideas. But I think that if there's ever a time to do it, an online one, I just don't know if it'll translate as well because I really liked being in the same room as everyone, but we'll see. But yes, to answer your question, Robert, I have not forgotten at all. If anything, that is more likely than ever, and the wheels are in motion.
I've also heard from viewers that watching remote D&D to some people is better because you get to see everyone's facial expressions all the time. Okay. As opposed to when you're watching everybody filmed in the same room, normally the camera's focused on one or just a few of the players and you're not getting to see everyone the whole time. In most of the layouts where people are separate, you're seeing everyone the whole time. So that was just an interesting thing.
Everyone in the same image. Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
Yeah, right? All right, yeah, awesome. Thank you for that question.
Yay. This next question is from Catnip Ninja. What game would you say is the best escape from the reality of what 2020 has been?
Not Last of Us.
Oh, Animal Crossing. Probably, yeah, I have not played Animal. For me, it's been Magic the Gathering, which is funny for me to say while I'm wearing a Hearthstone shirt. I still play Hearthstone, but going back and forth is very confusing. But I recently decided, like, you know what, it's been a while since I picked up Magic the Gathering. I'm going to get back into Magic the Gathering. So that's been my escape recently. But yes, I would say on the whole, mod, you called it.
But with Magic the Gathering, though, it's a twofer because, you're getting a lot of action playing Magic the Gathering because you're tapping that man. Tapping the man.
You know, in all the years I spent playing Magic the Gathering in high school with my significant other, I never thought of that once. Shame on me.
Well, shame on me, really.
Oh my goodness, too funny. All right, Amy. Thank you so much for the questions, love.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I already did my exit spiel.
Okay, ready? And here we go. Mod, exit spiel.
Alrighty. That was a playing competitive power up, but that's just one of three. We still have watching and reading still coming. Amy's going to be back delivering not only the news, but bombs away. When will I remember that? Not today. But don't go anywhere or make sure you're subscribing to Geek Bomb. Make sure you are following or subscribe to Trisha's channel. Thank you for joining us live. If you are live, if you're watching later or listening to on the podcast, that's awesome as well. You can get your questions in advance with priority treatment on patreon.com/geekbomb, where you'll also find Power Down, which we'll be doing after this episode. So yeah, everyone wins. But next video coming up right now. Watch out.
Watch out watching. Okay, thank you so much, everybody. Live is the best, Nathan Swap. I agree with you. You get to see all the fun stuff as it happens. Seriously, thank you all so much for being here, for all of you who are here watching this live. I want to say a huge shout out and thank you to, let's go through it, Ridian, and thank you so much for resubbing. You're amazing. It's been four months already.
Oh, I finally got to chat to him face-to-face.
Yay! Classy Librarian, rated with a party of 7. Zraken75, thank you so much for the resub as well. Says, Richard. Gotta love tech stuff. Oh, you're having tech issues. I'm sorry. Tech difficulty emote in chat for you. Thank you for the follows. Macaroon time, or macaroni time, and Team Rocket PvP.
Macaroons every time.
Macaroon time and macaroni time are both things I fully support. I'm Mr. Reese. Thank you so much for the resub as well. Ollie, thank you for gifting a sub. Thank you for the follows. JG Carlson 16 and Winston EXE and Neutralis 525. Thank you for the resub as well. And hi, right back at you. So you may have noticed that we're not popping up notifications throughout the stream. That's because we are recording Power Up and we need the audio to be clean to go in a podcast form and to be on the Geek Bomb YouTube channel later. But I still appreciate you all more than ever. Thank you all so very much for being here and thank you for being a part of the show. You are awesome.
All right, let's get into the watching.
Okay, give me just 1 second to flip some stuff around.
I can give you 1 second.
Thank y'all.
I can give you five.
All right.
I'm generous.
Okay, let's see. All right, ready whenever you are, Maud.
Welcome to watching. This is the W component of Power Up. Sup, my name is Maud Garrett, joined by Trisha Hirschberger, and we are going to be sharing what we have been watching the last 2 weeks because this is a non-guest episode, which means spotlight's back on us. Trish, how you been?
I've been really good. Have you been, Maud?
Yeah, look, July, it's busy. July is going to be busy. August is going to be busy. But you know what? I breathe busy.
I mean, there's a lot of good stuff to watch on. I see everyone right now that's watching this live in the Twitch chat saying, Hamilton! And with that, let's bring in Amy to talk about what's going off.
The problem is, though, Amy, because it is celebrating Hamilton's release today on Disney Plus, you have to sing us the news.
What? Sorry, you were breaking up there. That's weird how that just happened.
But Amy, you are a big Hamilton fan, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Casual fan, in that I have never seen it. I will watch it for the first time tonight.
Same.
But I know a lot of the songs, so it'll be fun. I'm really excited. We're actually having a watch party, virtual watch party. Okay, so yes, what's going off? Drive-in theaters are happening. There's some musical things happening there too. Walmart will be transforming 160 of its store parking lots into drive-in theaters.
Man, that's pretty brilliant.
Right? That's really smart.
Yeah, that's smart. Oh, damn.
So beginning in August, all the way until October, Walmart will show a total of 320 drive-in screenings at store parking lots across the U.S. So they will have concessions and then even some special appearances from filmmakers and celebrities. The schedule and details has not been announced yet, but yeah, it's like a pretty big deal, and drive-ins are popping up again.
So. Honestly, yeah. The time that's turned around as well, seeing the fact that we haven't had a release in a movie since, what, the second half of March, like, that's actually really quite brilliant. I wonder, though, is this like a separate third-party thing, or will this count towards box office sales? Are they integrated with the box office at all?
That was my question.
Yeah.
What I do know is that the screenings will be operated by Tribeca Enterprises. They're the same company that's operating a month-long drive-in pop-up theater at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. So they just did Jaws yesterday, and they're doing stuff until the 26th of July. So it feels like a separate thing.
Got it.
The ideas for the movies, I don't really know what those are. So if people can bring in new releases and release them that way, that might be an option.
I don't know, because that means that Walmart just became the new AMC. What?
That's my thing. It's like, I wish that this was Regal or AMC or a theater chain that was trying to recoup some losses by partnering to do this. My concern is that everyone's cinema money is going to go to Walmart, who is already making tons of money and doesn't need any more help. Like, I don't want to help out Walmart anymore, but I would love to go to a drive-in and support AMC or support Regal or support like a floundering theater. Like, we have the Lemleys out here, something like that. So I need to do some more research into Tribeca.
Agree. Especially, I mean, there are a lot of drive-in theaters that were already out and like doing their thing before this. And I would hope that those are the ones that are also hopefully doing better. Yeah.
Fingers crossed. I'm like so trying to support small businesses and stuff right now because I feel like they're the ones that really need our dollar bills.
Is Amazon going to buy this idea?
Yeah, well, I mean, Walmart's one of the biggest.
I've never been to a Walmart.
So. Huh?
I've never been to a Walmart.
Good for you.
I don't even
missing much.
I don't even know where they are. Target. Not an endorsement.
There aren't that many of them in LA. That's why. Because there's Targets in LA proper. The closest Walmart to like LA proper, there's one in Panorama City, I think.
Oh, okay. There's
Burbank Town Center.
Is it Walmart?
Burbank.
I thought that was
by Ulta.
Oh, I didn't know there was one in Burbank either. Well, there you go. Burbank's the closer one then. But yeah, so I'm all about supporting cinema. If it's going to actual theaters and going into box office revenue and supporting the entertainment industry, then I'm all about that. So good news that more people will be able to see movies.
They're probably going to tailgate it. Walmart customers? Yeah, that's a tailgate.
Oh, yeah.
I got chicken. That was a stereotype. But it felt kind of like nice for me to be able to like do an American stereotype, because usually it's the opposite way. So,
hey, all right, you can do American anytime you want, Maude.
Thanks, pretty lady.
Yeah. All right, Amy, thank you so much for telling us what's going off and letting us know the news. We'll have you back in just a bit for Bombs Away Q&A. But Maude, what are you watching?
I'm watching Doom Patrol! Finally! Everyone's been saying how good Doom Patrol is, and I made a point on my show, Fresh Daily, which is on the Quibi app. We do deep dives, where instead of just telling you about the show, we actually watch it and review it and give it a little bit of feedback. So season two is already out quite recently. So I ended up only watching the first two episodes of season one. There's 15 episodes in total. If I could have watched more, I would have. And then I jumped to season two to watch the first episode of season two. And there's a lot, it's a lot different. They're growing their team. There's an expansion. But I really liked the setup. I think the pilot of Doom Patrol is awesome. I really like that we got Brendan Fraser back. He plays, I'm going to butcher all their names because I'm still quite new to it. He's Robot Man. That's Robot Man. And then we have Elastigirl, who is this old Hollywood glamour actress who they basically are getting their abilities because some extraterrestrial kind of thing has touched them or literally taking over their bodies. Or in Robot Man's case, he was in an accident and didn't survive. And so basically his brain was put into this robot's body. But I'm really digging the writing. Alan Tudyk is kind of like the villain of the first season and he narrates it. And it's done in a way where they are making fun of themselves and the superhero genre. And that was really refreshing. They're like, yes, we are here for another superhero TV show. Yes, another one. Can you believe it? There's so many already, but ours is like something that you haven't seen and you really haven't. I will say there is a lot of sort of like comparisons to say Umbrella Academy, which I punched out in 2 days, and that season two is coming out soon as well. Because it's an ensemble, because it's a lot of characters that you might not necessarily be familiar with and you're kind of learning about them for the first time, but they are a package deal. And it's feeling that ensemble kind of like group dynamic, and I think Umbrella Academy did a lot better job at that, a lot quicker, but that's because they're siblings, so it's a lot easier to do that. In this case, it was finding its feet a little bit, but the humor was so good that it drove me through. And now the I want to go back and finish all of season one before I continue any more of season two. Have you watched it?
I have not watched it all. So I was just going to ask you, Doom Patrol, the first season was only on DCU, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's now available on HBO Max.
And now it's on HBO Max. I do not have either of those services. So when you said you watched Doom Patrol, I was like, what even is that? I don't even know what that is. Like, it's not even on my radar. But I loved Umbrella Academy. So if you're comparing it to that, then that's a very winning endorsement for me. But yeah, DC Universe, I didn't have. I didn't watch. And HBO Max, I don't have and I don't watch.
Yeah, HBO Max is a funny one because it's like, it was really over promising, but then it was like, we've got all the Warner Brother DC comic movies, and then they're like, psych, you've only got them for the first month. And of course everyone's like, no, it's a catalog streaming service, it's right. Not a, you have it for 30 days and then you don't have it. So now they've all gone back on to HBO Max, so you will have the whole slate there. And the Snyder cut of BVS is going to, I think, come out end of next year.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, as soon as HBO Max is on Roku, then I will have HBO Max. But until that point, I don't need another thing to do at my computer.
And it's another like $13.99 or a lot. It's more. It's like considerably more.
It's more than HBO Now? I thought it was supposed to be the same price as HBO
What's HBO Go?
So HBO Go is HBO streaming for cable customers that already pay for their HBO through a cable company. HBO Now is just the streaming service. So if you don't have cable and you just want to get HBO streaming, you get HBO Now. Have HBO Max, which has additional content and is a streaming service. And I thought it was supposed to be the same price as HBO Now. You just get more. But they haven't made deals with Amazon Fire Stick yet, and they haven't made deals with Roku yet. So you can only get it, I think certain smart TVs can get it. And of course you can get it via browser, via their site. But it's, they need to make deals with everybody and become more universal before everybody can get Max.
Now and Max are the same price.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because it's kind of a no-brainer. If Max just has more content, it's like Now, but it has more content for the same price. Why wouldn't everybody get Max?
Why is Now different to Max? Now's redundant.
Yeah, so I heard that they're changing it, so it's no longer going to be HBO Go, HBO Max, and HBO Now. They're changing the names.
It's confusing someone like me. Then the rest of the world doesn't stand a chance.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. When entertainment is like what you and I do for a living for the most part. So yes, totally. I think they're cleaning up, last I read, but I couldn't remember what they were cleaning it up to. But they're trying to clean it up.
I don't have my glasses on, but tell me about Tales of the Poop.
Tales from the Loop. is on, it's an Amazon Prime series.
Yeah, I've seen the first two episodes. I didn't like it.
Oh, really? I liked it. Nate had heard good things from a coworker, so we decided to start watching it. We just finished the whole first season last night. We were watching one episode a night for the past week or so, week and some change. And it's okay. I would even give it an above average. I would say it's like Black Mirror without the disturbing portions.
It's like Black Mirror, but a really boring date.
You thought the show was boring?
I thought the pacing was incredibly slow. I think that the episodes were 20 minutes longer than they needed to be.
Man, sick burn to Jodie Foster.
I didn't see that episode. I only saw two. And that was the one with the robot in the woods, the AT-ST, mm-hmm. Chicken Walker, and the other one was the bracelet that stopped time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw, I don't know, really awkward sex scenes. But yeah, it's like it had so much momentum, but then it just kind of like pause a little bit. I preferred Black Mirror, and it's Twilight Zone season 1 and 2 are a lot like this as well, but they've got a lot more sort of purpose and drive. This one, it's more of like the scenic route, and you get to kind of look around and enjoy.
Tales from the Loop is definitely more of a slow burn. Every episode is from a different character's point of view, so you're kind of learning about this town and this anomaly that is the Loop through different characters' perspectives, and but they all kind of weave together in a way where each episode you go into, you realize how it kind of adds on to the story from the episode before and builds out the entire world. And I thought it was really, I really enjoyed it. Nate and I, we got to the end, and we were kind of like, because it's the end of the season and it kind of tells the end of the full story. And it wasn't like Black Mirror leaves you disturbed for days, I feel like. And this isn't making commentary on how awful human people are. This is just making, like, there are certainly, like, the episode you saw, Maude, on the mirror that stops time. I felt like that was reflective of and trying to convey a message of, like they kept saying it in the episode, why can't we just be as in love and excited as we are in the beginning? And it relates it from this kind of fantastical experience where they're stopping time to what's happening in the character's real life and in their family's real life. And so every episode, like a Black Mirror, examines a part of humanity in a way that I think we don't often get to see it. So that's what I found fascinating about it. But I will, full disclosure, we finished the first season and my husband and I looked at each other and said, well, that was a thing we did.
Yep.
So I wouldn't say like best series of all time, but as something I've been watching, it's like, it was okay. It was above average. as someone who really likes that genre, I would recommend it if you're looking for something new to watch and, you know, your TV to-do list isn't this long already, which is the case that we were in. Like, we, you know, we binged Queer Eye season 5 and needed something new that's the show we watched together, and this filled that void. So now we need to find something else.
You've already seen Watchmen, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Watchmen's great.
After Doom Patrol. My back catalog is so long, but I'm going to watch Hamilton tonight.
Yes. I'm so glad you brought that up. So we watched Act 1 of Hamilton this morning with coffee. So we watched Act 1 this morning with coffee, and we're saving Act 2 until after my little dude goes to bed tonight so that we can watch it in peace.
Amy's got something about this, actually. We've got Bombs Away, and I have a feeling we're tapping onto something that could exactly be this very thing. Hey, Amy. Welcome to Bombs Away.
Hey. Yes, this is actually a question from James Smith from Patreon, patreon.com/geekbomb. I will also be getting a question from Twitch right now. But James asked, is anyone excited for Hamilton on Disney Plus?
So, Trish, you're saying you've already seen the first act?
I saw the first act this morning. Well, because Nate and I really, like, we considered staying up till midnight last night because that's when it was here on Disney Plus Pacific time. It was midnight, 3 a.m. for the East Coasters, which I saw East Coasters who stayed up until 3 to watch it at 3 when it came out on Twitter. And I'm like, hats off to you. We're tired parents. We fell asleep. We couldn't even make it till midnight. But the excitement's real and the excitement's there. So this morning we got coffee and I like toasted a bagel and we sat down and we watched Act 1 with breakfast. And as predicted, our tiny human was not as into it as we were. And we were, you know, distracted apart. So we stopped at the intermission and said, okay, after he goes to bed tonight, we will watch the rest. But my husband has seen it on Broadway. He had a friend who was in it, so he was able to get tickets. They weren't free. He still had to pay for them, but it's so hard to get Hamilton tickets on Broadway that at least he was given the option to purchase tickets because his friend was in it when he was there on a work trip. So I wasn't there. So I haven't seen it. We actually had tickets to see the tour of Hamilton here in Los Angeles the day that everything shut down. So the day that LA was like no group gatherings, we had tickets for that night. It was a Wednesday night. I called at 9 a.m. and I said, hey, is the performance still on for tonight? And they said, as of right now, the performance is still on. So I called and made dinner reservations at the place we normally go to dinner across the street from the theater. And we had a sitter lined up and like all of it ready to go. And then at 1 o'clock, I saw on Twitter that LA was shutting everything down. And so I called them again at 1 o'clock, and this was an 8 p.m. show. I called them again at one and I was like, is that performance still on for tonight? And there was like a recording that was like, oh, performances are closed indefinitely starting this. And I was like, okay, cancel the sitter, cancel the dinner reservations. And so I still haven't seen it. So Hamilfilm, #Hamilfilm is my first viewing experience.
Those tickets were non-refundable if I remember, because I saw a news article of a news report about it.
They keep letting us reschedule them for a date in the future.
Okay.
We have season Pantages tickets. So we have like 5 or 6 tickets, like 5 or 6 shows worth for the rest of the year that we're going to have to refund or exchange for a show at a later date when the Pantages opens up again.
I don't know if I'm a musical person. I'm like discovering more and more that I know, Amy, I'm sorry, that like less and less I'm into it, which is weird because like I loved all the Disney movies growing up, but I'm not sure if my dead heart is just warming up to it anymore.
Well, musical theater is very different than the Disney movies. I mean, some Disney movies are musical theater-esque, but live musical theater is like a totally different ballgame.
Have you seen, Amy, this is for you because this is your jam, Central Park, which is the new Apple Plus musical. It's kind of like Bob's Burgers meets musicals about Central Park. Like, I watched the first 2 episodes and I was like, this is not for me. But it's got like a 91% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, I don't have Apple TV anymore. Like the Apple, what you just said.
Yeah, Apple TV Plus.
Apple TV Plus, yeah. But I mean, I'm aware of everything that happened recently with the characters and who was voicing whom. Yeah.
She was playing a half-black girl and she stepped down from the role, which I actually thought was quite strange. And it didn't sound like Kristen Bell or Kirsten Bell. I'll never get Christy or Kirsty. I will never get it. If you're a Christy or a Kirsty, for life, I will never get your name.
Yeah, but
Kristen, it's Kristen Bell.
Kristen.
Is it Kristen Stewart or Kirsten Stewart? Kristen.
Kristen Stewart.
Kristen.
Mm-hmm. Is there Kristen. A Kirsten? Is it Kirsten Dunst or Kristen Dunst?
Kirsten.
Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, come on! Which one's wig?
Normally, I go to you, Maude, for the celeb pronunciation question. So I'm happy that even Maude sometimes has questions.
Kirsten Dunst?
The rest are Kristen that you mentioned.
Got it. Well, Kirsten is throwing me off. If everything else is Kristen, and there are no Kirstens, but there is Christy is the lead of the Babysitter's Club. Oh, man, how do I know that?
There's Kirsty.
There's a Kirsty. There are Kirsties out there.
Yeah.
What? You can't do Kirsty anymore. It rhymes with thirsty. That's never going to work.
But yeah.
Kirsty?
Musical theater, I don't want to say is an acquired taste, but like, Amy, you're probably the same as me. I grew up with musical theater. Like, I grew up on the East Coast, so I could go to New York and see Broadway in high school, and I could like listen to Broadway tunes all the time. And it's, you know, everything together. It's not just the music. It's not just the story. It's the lighting. It's the costumes. It's the choreography. It's the staging.
I did over Christmas, I think it was last year or the year before, I saw the Love Actually stage play. Loved it. I cried a lot. I cried a lot.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like, Amy, were you a theater major in school?
I was a theater minor, only because I couldn't do both, but I was a comm arts major.
You were 19?
Huh? I didn't hear it. Wait, no, try it again.
Try it again,
because I didn't hear it.
Where are you gone?
I'm sorry. Bye.
Were you not 18? Is that why you're a theater minor?
But
that was worth it. That was worth it. Thank you. Yeah. No, but I also my mom loved The Sound of Music, so I grew up with that, and I watched My Fair Lady and Grease, and I
Mary
was
Poppins. On the roof.
Love Mary Poppins. She pulls out purple shoes from the bag. The purple shoes, I was hooked on. And then, of course, I watched it, you know, 6 years ago, and I was like, purple shoes, the purple shoes. It is a blink and you miss it, not even center of frame movement. And I was like, as a kid, I locked onto that moment so hard. Ah, man, the children's minds, that is a fascinating thing. You never know what they're going to retain or what they're going to forget. Anyway.
The musical theater world is a vast, large world, but I think maybe it's just the right musical for each person that I think that that's the right one. And you could also say this with horror movies. L_Efron from Twitch asked, what is a summer-themed horror movie you would recommend?
Summer-themed horror movie?
Midsommar. Uh-huh. That's summer.
You did last summer?
Hey! We just won, hey. Like, if this was an American challenge quiz where it was like American race, what is it called? The Great Race?
The Amazing Race?
That'll do it. And they're like, to get through to the next round, you need to say two horror movies with summer in the title. Trisha and I,
we just did it.
And then we do our handshake. Ready? Ready? I love it. Yep.
Boom. Oh, yeah. Okay. That thing.
Oh, no, that's not working. I was going to try and like be your. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait. Hold on. It's so backward. There we go. No, it won't work that way. Just works the other way. Ridiculous. Ridiculous nonsense. I don't watch a lot of horror movies. I watch a lot of musical theater, so I can speak to that way more than I can speak to horror movies. But you know this, Maude. I don't know if you know this, Amy, that my partner in crime, Nate, used to be a professional musical theater performer. That was his job for years. In New York City, and he toured as well for years. So he's obviously a big musical theater fan because that's what he did. And it's interesting to see theater with him because he has, like, such a different perspective on shows. And he'll be like, oh, this was cast by such and such company, and they normally cast shows with this type of angle and their talent, and you know, like, he just has so much behind the scenes. It's really fun to see it with him. But I was also a theater major. I wasn't a musical theater major because I can't sing to save my life. But I love musical theater. I always say I would chop off my left boob to be able to sing. And just one, so I'd be lopsided for life. That's how much I would love to be able to sing, right? Right. But, you know, singing is not a skill I was blessed with, so musical theater only happens for me in the car and in the shower. But when I was a theater major, I just did all straight and classical, but it is what it is.
So Nate can belt out a tune. Is he good with, is he good in karaoke?
Oh my God, yes.
Oh, okay.
And he loves karaoke. He's always trying to get a karaoke group together because he doesn't have an outlet to sing anymore, and that's what he did professionally.
I don't know why I love karaoke, but I love karaoke.
I like singing along with people that are doing karaoke. I don't like doing karaoke myself, but I like being at my table and, like, rooting people on, singing from the audience.
I like beer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that helps, too. Amy, thank you so much for your bombs away questions. You're the best. We will see you in a little bit, Amy. Maude and I, in the meantime, that rounds out the watching portion of the show today. Thank you, everybody, so much for watching. Don't go anywhere because we're going to be moving into reading in just a bit.
Don't go anywhere. Subscribe, follow, like, do all the good stuff. Bye.
All of that. Just want to give a real quick shout out to Lord LOC who followed, and CP Falcon, thank you for gifting a sub to Barbatagus. You guys are awesome. Let me change around a couple things from a text standpoint, and then we can move into reading. Here we go. Get that ready. And just in general, I hope everybody watching this live is having an amazing day today.
Happy Friday, everyone. Happy long weekend if you're in America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a long year, so what's a long weekend, you know?
Ain't that the truth? Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
Ain't that the goddamn truth?
Super, super true. All right, I think a lot of people are starting their long weekends already. I think a lot of people are out and about.
We're already running over. I'm like, can we get a wine? And Amy's like, we have to move this along.
We got to move it. Well, because now we do Power Down. After we record this, we record an after show called Power Down that you can only see if you are a member of Geek Bombs Patreon. So shout out Geek Bombs Patreon if you want to see the after show. And of course, Twitch viewing is out of the kindness of everyone's hearts. Thank you so much for being here. A follow is free. And if you want to support, a sub is awesome. Thank you so much. Okay, so here we go. Maude, do you want to bring us, you're so funny. Do you want to bring us into reading, Maude?
Sure can. Welcome to the reading part of Power. It's the best one because it's the if you get my drift. We are going to be talking about what we've been reading. My name is Maude Garrett. Trisha Hershberger is joining us too. Reading is comics or books and books, anything that your eyeballs can run over or your ears can listen to and hear a bunch of words that are, I love being read to, let's be real. I'm such an audible convert. And I will never look back. Reading's going to be fun because this is what we have been getting stuck into. But before we kick this off, Amy Cassandra Martinez from Geek Bomb has a little bit of reading news that she's going to delve in. Sup, Amy?
Sup. Yes, so Alien and Predator comics. I think we're kind of keeping with the horror sci-fi theme. Right. So Marvel has acquired the rights to Alien and Predator from Dark Horse. So Dark Horse Comics has actually held the publishing licenses for both Alien and Predator since 88 and 89. So right now the plan is just for the Alien and Predator comics to, quote, expand on the characters and settings of the various Alien and Predator movies. So that doesn't mean that Alien or Predator will be fighting Iron Man or anything. But, like, that'd be interesting.
There have been, over the decades, like, a lot of crossovers where, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles show up with the Archie comics, you know? And, like, all get together.
That's so weird.
And, yeah. All of the characters. But then I think there has been Alien v Predator, like, in comic book form, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. It's definitely been in the movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, they were both from Dark Horse before, so I'm sure Dark Horse could do their own, you know, licensed crossovers anytime they wanted, but having crossovers with Marvel could be really fun. I mean, just like, let's think of some fun crossovers that could maybe happen. I mean, are we like Avengers versus Xenomorphs?
No, I wanted Predator versus Wolverine.
Okay.
Let me have it.
That could, it definitely could happen. I am so like, obviously, I mean, I named my son Logan. Obviously, I'm a huge Wolverine fan. But I'm also.
I named my son Sabretooth. That's so weird.
Oh my gosh, what a coincidence!
They're born mortal enemies. My son will destroy. No, I'm kidding.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, I would love to say that Logan would kick Predator's butt. But I don't know if that's true.
Alien v. Predator?
No, like Wolverine v. Predator. I don't know that Wolverine would necessarily kick Predator's butt. I would love to say that's true, but... I mean, Predator is so OP. Say that again, Maud?
The good thing about Wolverine is that his butt will regrow.
If he's given time, he can reheal, yeah.
Now I'm interested.
So many possibilities, says Sprinkles the Dragon Cat in chat. Yes. But Nathan brings up that regular people have defeated Predator before. That's true. I just never really buy it.
Why?
It's a movie. It's not real life.
I know. Fiction is kind of real to me, though.
No, but yeah. So if it's the humans have defeated Predator, like,
yeah, but there's like a group of people.
It's an a alien, bunch, see? Aliens
are scary, but at the end of the day, it's still an alien. Predator is literally like a killing entity. Like, it goes invisible. It has heat seeking. Like, its primary purpose is to hunt and destroy.
Yeah.
And aliens just trying to live, man. They're just procreating because that's what biology is telling
but,
them
to
do.
But to procreate and eat, they have to destroy.
Yeah. But it's still biology. I don't know. I'd love to have a wine talking about this.
that'll be a full power down at some point.
Yes, it will. Now listen, guys. Seriously, the tentacles.
It's true. All right. Thank you, Amy, for telling us what's going off. We'll see you back in just a little bit with Bombs Away. All right, Maud, time to get into what you and I are reading. What have you been reading?
All right, the first one that I want to get started with, what a beautiful cover. This is Primer. This is actually a new one out by DC. And what is so cool about this, it's a graphic novel about a brand new superhero that my friends created. I did a podcast for the last 2 years with Tom Krajewski, and I'm really good friends with Jennifer Muro, who have teamed up to create Primer. And what's so great about this is that they're focusing on not only a younger, like she's a tweenage, sort of like teenage superhero, but it involves art, and it also talks about the foster care system, which we haven't really seen since Shazam in terms of superhero movies. So I think that kind of representation is super important. But I'll read you a little bit of the blurb here.
Please do.
13-year-old Ashley Rabin is an upbeat girl with a decidedly downbeat past. With a father in prison, Ashley has bounced from foster home to foster home and represents a real challenge to the social workers who try to help her, not because she's inherently bad, but because trouble always seems to find her. Things start looking up for Ashley when she finds new loving parents, a best friend, and an outlet for her creative skills. But her life quickly gets more complicated when she also finds a suitcase full of specially enhanced body paints, changing her from artist to the world's newest superhero. It's the greatest thing to ever happen in her life so far, until Ashley finds herself pursued by a government agency that wants those paints back. Now she has to make hard choices to protect her new parents and learn what it truly means to be a family. Isn't that the cutest? But the colors in this, like the artist is...
Show us the art! Show us the art!
I mean, it's body paints. So, come on, camera. So a lot of the time when she's using the super powers, like right at the start, so this is not so spoiler, but isn't that even that, like,
that's beautiful,
stunning. She activates the powers by putting the body paint on, And so three different paints represent three different abilities here. Wait. Yep. So she uses like invulnerability, fire, and I think it's like strength.
But does she stream her body painting? The world needs to know.
Does she what?
Stream it.
Right, she's 13. She probably knows her way around that.
Yeah. Does she stream the body painting?
Is amazing. It's doing really, really well, like in bookshops and conventions as well. But the fact that it's a DC property, massive. The other book that I'm reading at the moment is one called Black Leopard, Red Wolf. It's by a black author called Marlon James. We are covering this book on Nerdist Book Club. And it's really interesting because like during the whole Black Lives Matter movement, where we really had to reflect, what is your relationship with black artists, black creators? Like, are you only kind of in your own echo chamber of people that look like you? And I remember thinking, I don't even know if I really know or have read any black authors. So for me, this was a really, really big deal. I spoke to my parents about Marlon James and they're like, he's such a good writer. He won the Booker Prize. He has written a bunch of other books, but this one is the first book where he delved into fantasy. And it's supposed to be the Game of Thrones in the African kind of like using African lore. To me, I've read Game of Thrones. They're nothing like this. This is such a clever, fantastic, smart, well-written book, but I have to give a trigger warning. There is a lot of sexual violence in this book, and it is really hard to stomach a lot of the time, and it is relentless. But in terms of, like, if you kind of put that aside, the way that they unravel the story, it's a detective horror, like so many different genres in it. But I remember talking to my mom and dad, and I'm like, I'm covering this book for Nerdist, and it's like, it's the first chapter, this happened, this happened, this happened. And I was like, I don't like that. And they were like, why do you think that he feels it necessary to bring these particular things up? And maybe his whole point is to make you uncomfortable because these are real things that can happen.
Right.
And you're in your little bubble where it's super safe and everything's wonderful, but that is not a reality for a lot of people. And so this discomfort that you're feeling, sit in it, like really kind of like get to know this. And as soon as you kind of understand that, the point and the purpose, and even discovering that Marlon James is a gay writer as well, seeing that sort of relationship of sex and gay relationships in the book, and it just kind of provided like another sort of layer of understanding. And I'm really enjoying it now, and I'm listening to the audiobook, and the narrator uses an African accent in it as well. But it's an anything goes kind of world building scenario which keeps you on your toes the entire time. Yeah, and there are like trolls and ogres, but they're not ogres or giants, they're ogos. So it's like, it's a lot, but I am really enjoying the process. Nerdist Book Club has been, I mean, we only have an hour and we never get to say everything in that particular hour. Thank goodness for the Geek Bomb after show where we can actually explore a lot more of it. But if you are looking for a black author, and that's something that upon understanding you'll be experiencing a lot of, can handle that, I actually do recommend the book.
Awesome.
But a lot of audiences are split because I am like deep into the Reddit for this one, the subreddit. And you're either, this is the best book I've ever read in my life, or you're, this is way too much for me and I actually don't think I can continue with the book, or I can't recommend the book to people. But we were just talking earlier with The Last of Us 2, where it's like, you don't enjoy it, but it's really, really good. That is exactly the same with this book. I am not enjoying it, but I'm really glad I'm reading it.
Well, and a lot of people in Twitch chat right now are bringing this up. They're like, this is the literary version of The Last of Us. And also in the way that you said, you know, because of having that real kind of oppressively dark feeling when you're going through it, that it perhaps that's also why it's so divisive. I mean, The Last of Us is incredibly divisive as well. So if you're finding that with the subreddit for this book, it could be a similar thing.
Yeah. But there you go. What are you reading at the moment?
I am reading, these have been around for a long, long time. I'm reading the Fables comics.
I've only played the games. What are the comics like?
Oh, you played the Telltale games?
Yeah.
So the Telltale games are what got me into Fables, actually. And Vertigo did release a based on the Telltale Games, its own series, the Wolf Among Us series, in conjunction with the games. But then, of course, so this is set in the Fables universe, but it's the same storyline that you see in the games, but done in the Fables art style. A little bit more of the Wolf Among Us art style is mixed in here, but that got me into the original Fables comics, which you can see here. I'm going to switch over. The only downside to these having been out a while is that it can be a little bit harder to find certain volumes because they're, you know, no longer in print. But my husband has gone to enough conventions with me where I walk up to every small comic retailer and I'm like, and do you have Fables Volume 2, please? That he hunts them down for me every time there's like a holiday or something that we need a present for. Here's a good page. I don't want to give any spoilers, but just so you can kind of see the art style. This is, spoiler warning, this is not your children's fairy tales. This is very dark. No. You can see it says there, no more happily ever after. In fact, Logan got his hands on one of these books and thought it was a fairy tale and started flipping through and was like, Mommy, can you read this book? And I had to on the fly edit so much out. I was like, oh yeah, that's Bigby Wolf. And that's Snow White, and they're going to visit Belle, and she said some things that weren't very nice, and then they went and investigated over here, and then they found someone in danger. Flip the page really fast so you can't see that. Or like, here's a room all covered in blood. That's something we quickly edit out when you're reading to your three-year-old. But, you know, he looked at the cover, and he recognized Little Boy Blue blowing his horn. You know, and like Logan's like, you know, gets real excited. And I'm like, yeah, this is the grown-up version, though. And it is very dark. It's violent and sexy. And I kind of love it. And here, I just want everyone to like look at that art right there.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing.
Just because. So there's a lot of people who say that the show Once on ABC was completely ripped off after someone came in and pitched a Fables TV show. Because it is. This is the people you know from fairy tales existing in our current dark real world and what that means for these people. So light bulb goes off, and apparently people were going around trying to pitch a Fables TV show, and then like a couple of years later, Once came out. So as much as I enjoy Once, I will say that probably had something to do with it. Go read the source material. It's really good.
Oh, play the game.
NBC. And Once Upon a Time, and it's an NBC show. There we go. Thank you, guys. But it's always Once real big and then Upon a Time all tiny underneath it. Sorry, I have a visual memory. But yes, on NBC, not ABC. So that's what I'm reading right now, and that's what I recommend.
I would love to hear what everyone else is reading in those comments. I always read the YouTube comments afterwards. So please join in the discussion there. And if you are watching live, hey. But it is now time for Bombs Away Q&A with Amy Cassandra Martinez, you know from Geek Bomb. She's been compiling the questions not only on patreon.com/geekbomb, but she's also going to be checking out the feed right now when we are live. And she's going to get one from the Dragon Riders too. But what's our first question, Amy?
So this one is from Terry. I know Mod is gray, but anyway, Jedi or Sith? And also Trish, Jedi or Sith?
Real life Jedi, wannabe Sith. I always like playing the evil characters. Who is Zelda, Jedi or Sith?
Oh, Zelda's a little Sith bitch. But she's got her red bows in. They're not blue. Dun, 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 dun. I have thought, what was I talking about recently? Where every time I'm playing a video game in an RPG way and it's like, so what do you think we should do? Should we send this person back to their family or should we just kill them? I'm like, send them back to the family? Are you kidding me? But every time I'm doing an in-person tabletop kind of like role-playing, I'm not good at all. So what does that say? Like when I'm playing a character in a video game making choices, I'm always good. But when I'm in person, chaotic neutral.
Maybe it's because when you're playing a character in video game, you feel responsible for your actions. But in a tabletop RPG, you're giving yourself free reign. I don't know.
Yeah, that totally checks out.
Yeah.
Good question from Terry, though. I liked that one. Is there one from the Dragon Riders?
Yes, Mighty X 29 asks, who would win in a fight, Inspector Gadget or Jar Jar Binks?
Inspector Gadget. Inspector Gadget's awesome.
They're both Gumbies, aren't they? They're both like dead set Gumbies. I used to, when I played netball, netball's not a sport in America, but when I used to play netball, it's kind of like basketball, but you can't dribble and move. I was called Inspector Garrett because anytime someone tried to throw the ball over me, I'd be like, go, go, Garrett arms.
Very nice.
Sorry. So I'm going to say Inspector Garrett, Gadget because of that.
I would say Inspector Gadget because now, forgive me, I'm not remembering Inspector Gadget lore super well. But I think that those were all modifications that were built. So technically, he could make new modifications and be constantly upgrading himself, which I would think would give the advantage over Jar Jar.
He would have the springs in his shoes. He would have the hat.
The propeller.
Hat. Yep. That hat had a lot in there.
Mm-hmm.
For my 21st birthday, when I dressed up as Snow White, my soon-to-be boyfriend, as of that night, came as Inspector Gadget. And he actually built the from a bucket hat a thing that held out a hand with a microscope. What is it called? Magnifying glass on it. I was like...
Impressive.
That's how you do it. I'm in love.
Very impressive.
It was. So I'm going to say Inspector Gadget from bias as well. Aww. Even though I don't dress up as Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, and I want to fact check real quick. Once Upon a Time was the name of the TV show, and it was on ABC, not NBC. Which makes sense because they're dealing with characters like Snow White and Cinderella and all those characters. But awesome. Amy, thank you so very much for the questions. And thanks to everyone who's watching or who's on Geek Bomb who submitted the questions. You guys are awesome. Amy, we will see you in just a bit for the Power Down After Show over on Geek Bomb. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yay. Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody, so much for watching this week's Power Up. I hope you got some new recommendations to play, watch, or read this week with Maude and I. Next week is very exciting. It will be a guest week again, right?
Yes, guest is going to be next week. You betcha.
Awesome. And we can't tell you who it is just yet, but I know you're going to be excited about it. So make sure that you tune in next Friday. The time will be a little bit earlier. I'll make sure to post it on the Twitch schedule so that you know what time that's going to be, and in the Discord as well. If you have not joined the Discord for the Dragon Riders or Geek Bomb's Discord, please go ahead and do that. You guys are awesome. It was great hanging out. I agree. Dante Bogdan, and thank you all so much for being here. Welcome to the new followers who are here today. Please know I appreciate you. The next time that I will be streaming is Sunday morning. I will be playing more The Last of Us 2. I'm starting the game. It's on Sunday morning. My playthrough is currently at Seattle Day 2. So I'm starting at Seattle Day 2. So if you're worried about spoilers, you are probably further in the game than I am. But yeah, come on and hang out, and if we need to take a sanity break at any point to kind of like chill out, then maybe we'll do some like just chatting or play some Magic the Gathering or whatever. But that's going on with me on Sunday. Maude, the next time they can see you, I assume, is on Fresh Daily.
That's the one, Monday through Friday. It's been my show lately, so please support me doing my thing if you have the Quibi app. It's like $4.99 with ads, $7.99 without. But you get to flip it. That's cool. Anyway, join me on my show, guys.
And Amy, when can people see you? Voice of Amy that will come in just a moment.
Yes, live. I do a horror show. I do a horror show. Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific time. That kind of just changes a little bit sometimes. But yeah, that's on youtube.com/AmyCassandraMod.
What? It's a horror show. I'm bringing
it. I know. Is that the dun, 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 dun? Or is that Truth or Dare?
What are you talking about?
Those are horror movies.
What? Dun, that's dun, that? Dun, dun.
And then there's also... Anyway, I talk about horror.
There you go.
If you need more horror content, go to Amy and not Trisha and Maude. That's what we have just learned right here. Awesome. Again, thank you all so much for watching. Have a lovely rest of your day, and we'll see you soon. Bye, everybody.
Don't worry, Powdown's going to be coming out soon, and we're going to start that now.